I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so very much for joining us on a whole brand new episode of Muslim Lady brought to you by IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Zainab, and in the studio with me, I am accompanied by my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear friend.
Thank you so very much for joining us today. We've been talking about the women of Kufa as opposed to the women of Karbala and their stance in reference to the heinous actions of their husbands and the aftermath of Ashura.
So we mentioned the case of Hind, the wife of either the wife or the slave girl of Yazid, and then we mentioned that lady. We know this incident, the incidents of Ashura, was so unimaginable.
Absolutely.
The action and the animosity, the baseness of their hideosity was so to such an extent that, you know, these women that we're talking about, some of them, they were not like so God-fearing, so good women. But we're just trying to say that their degree of baseness was not as low as their husbands, and it was so much better than them. Mm-hmm. And at some points in their life, they went as signs and as a wake-up call. Even to their husbands or to their, you know, whatever, the people they were involved with. I'm going to talk about this lady who had a very bad name. She was known to be a prostitute. Okay. I'm talking about Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's mom. In the ziyarah of Ashura, you are cursing. You say, La'anallah Umar ibn Sa'd wa Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad ibn Marjana, right? So you relate him twice to two very infamous people. In the same phrase, you say Ibn Marjana, where you say Ubaydullah, the son of Ziyad, and also the son of Marjana. And Marjana, his mom was infamous. She had a bad reputation among the Arabs. Even her, when she heard that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, her son, had done such an act to the progeny of the Holy Prophet, she disowned him.
Ya Hussein.
And she said, I do not have a son like you.
This is where I put my foot down.
You see, there's a red line even in that prostitute's
heart.
Vision, in that prostitute's heart. SubhanAllah, that these people were so brutal.
Absolute.
And I cannot think of any attribute because I think I'm disrespecting animals when I'm saying. And one other incident that was my favorite is this one, that when Yazid died, the news of his death, you know, was spread everywhere, and it also reached Kufa. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who was the ruler of Kufa, he got so afraid of people that he ran away.
Right.
And he put in his position Ibn Harith as his representative.
Uh-huh.
But also, the people of Kufa even stoned him and made him run away. So he left too, and he left Kufa, and now Kufa was without any ruler and without any emir. So the aristocrats, the rich people of Kufa who had their hands in the killing of Imam Hussein, who were among the soldiers in the day of Ashura, they talked together and they made the agreement to put someone as the ruler for the time being, a temporary ruler, and they put Umar ibn Sa'd.
No way.
They took him to the mosque. And
pledged their allegiance.
No, wait. This is the part of the story.
For real?
He went on the pulpit to deliver a sermon and say, yeah, alhamdulillah, I am going to be the wali of the Muslimin, you know, the ruler of the Muslimin. But at this point, the women of two tribes, they rushed into the mosque. They poured into the mosque and they said, what the hell do you think you guys are doing? Wait a minute. Still, the blood of Imam Hussein is dripping from the sword of this cursed man. They took the man, Umar Sa'd, they took him down the pulpit, and everything stopped right there.
So they protested right there and right then.
SubhanAllah, that these women had so much they were so much more forward, so much more understanding, with so much more insight than their own husbands. Because at some point, the pages of history, that page of history turned. You know, they had brought the captives, the Ahlul Bayt, into the cities, and they were like, oh, these are the Kharijis, look at them. And they were, you know, throwing things at them, and they were rejoicing at this victory. But everything changed after the sermon of Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha, when she introduced herself, and, you know, she said that we are the Ahlul Bayt, we're from the family of the Prophet, and they realized what irreplaceable, irrevocable act that they had done. So this is another incident. And it's interesting, Zainab, that after many of the women, they found out about the identity of the household of the Prophet, they had mourning sessions, lamentation sessions in the court of Yazid for some days. You can see traces of seeking truth or a little bit of humanity still present, you know, in the hearts of some of these people. And apparently, these are women.
Women, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We're going to be back after a short break, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Thank you for joining us again on Muslim Lady, where we're talking about the women of Kufa, or the women of the aftermath of Ashura. One would think that the women of Kufa are those who provoked their husbands against Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but these women specifically that we're talking about are those who managed to draw a line and stand against the heinous, brutal, gorish acts of their husbands and exempt themselves from the category, perhaps, inshallah, I hope, of those who have been damned for having the blood of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam on their hands. And it's a very interesting discussion as well. It just comes to show the power of free will. And, you know, it's times like these that you feel it's a two-pronged sword. You don't know whether it's a gift or a curse, you know, because their husbands did it out of free will. The wives did it out of free will. The women's free will got them probably salvation. The husband's free will got them a one-way ticket to hell. I think free will is, it's mostly just a responsibility, perhaps the biggest responsibility that's been bestowed upon human beings, because
Imma adaynahu sabil, imma shakiran wa imma kafura.
Exactly.
You've shown them the way. Either they are
grateful or
they're kafir, they hide the truth and they do whatever they want to do.
Exactly, and they're doomed. So we talked about many women who basically had the courage, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, for them. Because what they did didn't exactly change anything. Perhaps in some of those cases it was even too late for the fate of humanity, for history, for the fate of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his army, but at least for their own fate, for themselves on an individual level.
Somewhere I read that this lady who was present in the eve of Ashura in the camp of the enemy, the wife of one of the enemies, when she saw the men attacking the women, she said, Ya la tharata Rasulullah, O avengers of the blood of the noble prophet, right? And then that became the slogan of Mukhtar. So in the later revenge that you know, they took from the enemies of Imam al-Hussein, these were actually they ignited a torch, they ignited a fire in the hearts of people that perhaps at that time it was very faint and very small and very trivial, but then later on it grew hotter and warmer, and the fire, you know, was grew to such an extent that all the enemies, most of them, were taken revenge of, you know.
Maybe it had some sort of
مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَانْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهْ. This is, nothing is lost in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
True.
We might do something, even now in our lives, that you don't even realize what you're doing. One word that you utter, one way you look at someone, something that you wear, if you really have sincere intentions, it goes a far way. It will start like just like a snowball that is coming down the hill, and little by little, like it makes an avalanche. So you might think it's small, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies your act to 10 times, 600 times more and more powerful than you had initially done.
Exactly.
Right? So nothing is ever small. It's this is the message that we can get, that you take one little step, great things will happen, right? I was watching a movie where three black women were working in NASA. One of them was a mathematician, the other one was working with the IBM computers, and the other one was a mechanical engineer. And the way it was in the 1960s, I think, that America wanted to launch its first shuttle in the space, and everything, there was a segregated society. And this lady, this was a movie I was watching, but it was showing how seemingly unimportant people can make life-changing, history-changing events. Mm. And many of these people, life-changing heroes, were women. Subhanallah, how much power we have at our disposal that we do not know of.
Mm,
Subhanallah, true. That whenever there's an aim, there's an objective, if it's a good, if we really are hoping and we're planning and we're struggling to walk in a path that we will be in the companionship of Imam Mahdi, and we really try, it's really hard to live today's life with iman and to not to get distracted of this and that. But your little intention, your seemingly small intention, will go a far way.
And it comes to show, I'd really like to take this opportunity to say that if this is what women who were in the margins could do, I mean, from your analysis of the situations, it acted like a ripple in the course of history, and it impacted many other movements, and it influenced many other ideologies, leading to greater events. If women who were in the margins of society could have such a great impact, imagine what sort of impact a woman who's given a voice, who's given a position, who's acknowledged for her ideas, her thoughts, her understanding of religion, that compassionate, sympathetic, maybe a lot of people use this with a bad connotation, but emotional, sentimental outlook.
This is a beautiful outlook.
Exactly.
In all these incidents, the emotion of women
was what saved them.
Exactly.
Basically. What brought upon them their salvation.
Feminine quality saved them.
I mean, these men, they became so savage and bloodthirsty in their agenda and in their schemes and their far-fetched plans to rule different regions of the Islamic nation, that they got brutal enough to spill the blood of the grandson of the Prophet. And if they had reached that prosperity in this world, that wealth, obviously their wives would have benefited from them too, but for a moment...
They didn't want that.
They didn't want it.
They didn't want that luxury.
Exactly. Their wives were like, you know what? It's not worth it. I can't live with myself. It's hurting my heart. What you're doing is hurting my heart. So imagine what a woman can do if she's empowered, if she is...
She believes in herself.
Exactly. Respected for these beautiful God-given qualities rather than condemned and undermined and forsaken. Thank you so very much for your time. And thank you to our brothers and sisters for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Until another one, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master.
of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.